Ascension Process with Dr. Suzanne Lee.
Hello, this is Suzanne Lee, and I'm here with the Arcturian Ascension Process. And today we have a very special guest, Michelle Fletcher. Hello, Michelle. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm wonderful, thank you. Great. Happy to be on, excited.
Yes, I'm so happy to have you here. And Michelle is a medium, and as we were waiting to start the show before we started recording, in comes my entire family from the other side, giving poor Michelle that she could hardly talk because they all had something to say hi to me. So thank you, Michelle. That was great to see my mom and my uncle and my dad. And
yeah.
My grandma. Well, that was great.
Yep, they're all here.
They're all there. They're in the show too. So, so why don't you? We'll just jump in right here, Michelle. And I asked you some of the things that you know you might want to talk about, and you mentioned that you had these abilities to talk to people on the other side from the time you were a child. So
yes.
Would you like to share that a little bit? I mean, that must have been quite a challenge.
Well, it was because I really didn't have any guidance or help from any adults. So I think that what I did is I kind of shut it down for most of my life until I hit my early 30s. And then I started really embracing the gifts, and now I work professionally as a medium. But as a child, it was very challenging because, again, I just didn't have the support. I didn't really have anyone to talk to about it. And the couple times that I did mention things, I was made to feel weird or strange.
Uh-huh.
So, but I remember so many incidences. I just knew I was different. I knew there was something very different about me than, you know, normal people or other people. But, you know, in my early years, I felt that it was normal, and I just thought, everybody can do this. And uh-huh. I know I hear that from a lot of mediums, because when you're a child, you just think, oh, it's normal.
Yeah.
But I would wake up in the middle of the night and get out of bed and disgruntled and run into the kitchen and yell at the ghosts for making too much noise. They're keeping me up. They're keeping me awake. They're throwing pots. I could hear them, you know, in the kitchen throwing pots and pans out on the floor. It would just wake me up, and I get really upset and run out there and say, knock it off, stop it. And then the next day I would ask my other family members, sisters and mom, did you hear that? And nobody ever heard anything. So I always felt from the time I was little presence, things around me. And for a while I did fear it. And then I went through a phase of Christianity and where they taught that it was completely wrong to do this. So I did get out of that, and now I'm just completely, fully embracing all of it, because there's nothing wrong with connecting with loved ones, and it's my belief that everybody can. Everybody can make those connections. And I like to compare it to, let's say, an opera singer. As far as mediumship, I definitely was born with a natural ability, just like a singer would be born with a natural gift of singing, and they have a beautiful voice, and they can sing opera. But then, you know, for mediumship, people may not get to the opera stage, do you know what I mean, where you're, you know, getting all kinds of information, evidential information. But what I'm saying is that you can you can make connections. Everybody can sense their loved ones. It's just a matter of getting rid of the belief systems that we have that we can't do this. So
how did you get rid of those systems?
Oh, it took a while.
Because,
it took
know,
a
I
while.
There's a lot of people. I mean, I had some ability of that when I was young and shut down just as you did. But, and I shut down very well and took a really long time to, you know, get back.
Yeah.
I never did get back to the extent that you're back.
Right.
So I think that, and especially now, there's a lot of people that are having this. So maybe you could share how it is that you kind of listen to your own inner voice, that what you were doing was really good and positive and loving in spite of the outside voices that told you otherwise?
When I started helping clients and when I started teaching and lecturing and doing my workshops, it's just when you get repeatedly over and over and over all this love when the spirits come through, you know that you're not off track. I mean, you've heard the expression, follow your heart. Well, how could something so beautiful, that's so healing, be bad? I mean, Jesus said, you know, you will know them by their fruits.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, it's just a beautiful thing, you know, when you're working with clients and they've had such a traumatic loss and they tell you over and over, you helped me so much, I feel like I can move on, I have peace, I have hope, then you know you've done a good thing. How could that be wrong? So I think that's how I got over my belief systems that this is wrong, is that I just saw the good that it did in the world.
Yes, and then also people know that people don't die. They just go to...
There is no such thing as death. There is no such thing as death. Death is an illusion. That's part of the belief system. And when you open up to that world of spirits and loved ones on the other side, your life will never be the same because... They're always around us all the time, constantly, and especially if you're going through hard times, financial problems, relationship problems, work, whatever it may be, then they are definitely close to you when you're going through struggle.
Ah, oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
We don't know that. We forget that. We forget
that
we're always supported and loved, and it's so wonderful to have somebody like you to remind us of that.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. That's the purpose of my life and why I was born, is to do this work. And, you know, I'm just the humble messenger.
and you have a radio show, too. Can you tell the guests
your
radio show is so they can join you and listen to you every week?
Yeah, it's at Blog Talk Radio. I'm generally there every Thursday. We are going to be doing some touring for the summer, so I'm not going to be able to do my show every Thursday. We're going to try for once a month. We're going to travel all throughout Texas and Louisiana and San Antonio, all these different places during the summer. So if you're in those areas, contact me, and we'd love to host a show or do a workshop in those areas.
Oh, that's wonderful. So who are you traveling with? You said we.
With Ed and my family, with my daughter and her little friend. So it'll be the four of us traveling. My parents live in Texas, so we'll be staying with them for a while and then just traveling throughout. I'm excited about it.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. That's a real recognition of yourself. I mean, that takes... From somebody who's been weird all of my life as well, maybe in different words, ways than you're weird, I can appreciate how much courage it is to just go out and say, this is me and this is what I can do, and you probably can do it too. I mean,
that's
a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, thank you. And that is my motto, you can do it too. And I do have a mentoring program. I only take on about 2 students at a time because it is very time consuming, but I do teach you know, how to make these connections, and the students that I've had have had amazing success.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. I just try to get rid of this myth that, oh, it's a gift and, you know, not everybody can do it, only if you have the gift, and I just don't think that's true. I think anybody and everybody can make the connections if they have the desire.
So what exactly kind of connections do you mean? How do you experience these people on the other side?
Well, they let me give you a story. I'll tell a little story. So a couple weeks ago, all of a sudden, they come through the body. So I feel them, clairsentience, through the body. So one day I was having some pain in my right foot. And, you know, this isn't anything abnormal. I always get sensations throughout the body. And I know it's a spirit trying to connect. So I get this weird sensation in the foot. And I'm like, go away, you know. You'll come back when I'm in front of your loved one so that I can give the message. But there's nobody here, so I don't need to experience this right now. So it goes away, it comes back, goes away, comes back for about 2 weeks. And so then I find myself at the mall with my daughter. I'm shopping for her, you know, it's her sweet 16th birthday, and I'm shopping for her. So we split in the mall, and then suddenly the sensation comes back in my foot. And I said, okay, and I just talk to the spirit, and I say, I know that your loved one is here at the mall. You're going to have to direct me and guide me to who this person is. And then I heard, this is dad. I said, okay, dad. And then I heard, this is husband. So I know I've got...
One second. We're having a... Right underneath my window is a fire truck. So a second. I don't want to... people to be able to hear your story.
Okay.
It's a very loud fire truck.
I hear it.
Look at... Wow.
So then...
Okay. So you're at the mall, and your foot starts hurting again, and then you're...
Yeah, and so I know it's a spirit coming through, and I hear through the hearing of my mind, I hear this is dad and this is husband. So I know I've got two loved ones on the other side that is wanting to connect. And these loved ones on the other side have been with me for weeks.
Yeah.
And that's usually how it happens. They come to me way long before I even meet their loved one that's on the planet living. So I make my way over to the little jewelry store to buy a charm for my daughter's bracelet.
Yeah.
And I look up and I see this woman, and I knew instantly, okay, this is for her. And then instantly, as I made that connection, I saw her eating a salad. Mm-hmm. And then I saw another flash, this is clairvoyance, of her preparing a salad. So, and then again, I saw a fall, a real bad fall. So I just looked at her, and I connect through the eyes, because the eyes are the window of the soul. And I just, you know, started building some rapport with her, and we're talking about the charm bracelets, and she's showing them all to me. And then I said to her, you must love salad, don't you? She, you know, steps back a couple feet and said, what? I just had one for lunch an hour ago. So that's how it begins. And then I said, and you also made a salad. And she said, yes, I just prepared a salad for my mom yesterday. And I said, your dad on the other side, who's in spirit, and I know he is saying that you took a bad fall, which is why my foot was hurting for the past 2 weeks. You took a bad fall. And then, you know, tears start flowing from her eyes, and she's shaking, and, you know, but she's filled with love, and she says, oh, my God, I totally believe in this stuff. Oh, my gosh, tell me more. And so I just, you know, on the spot gave her a reading. So that's how it happens. But
wow.
I have to be very, very careful because, some, you know, I don't want to get in the way of somebody's religious convictions. And if she would have said, oh, I don't believe in this, I'm a Christian, and this is wrong, I just would have excused myself and said, oh, I'm really sorry, and... but just know your dad's with you, and I probably would have walked away.
Well, again, I just think that's so courageous and so committed to the beings on the other side that you will put yourself out like that, you know, as a possibility that someone is going to think that you're crazy or they're going to judge you in some fashion. But such a beautiful commitment you have to your gift and to the people on the other side that want to connect with their loved ones here. I think that's really beautiful. And
Thank you.
You said some other terms like clairaudient, clairsentient. So can you kind of share those terms with the people that maybe don't know what those mean?
Sure. Those are all the gifts of spirit. And I do have a book coming out called The Gifts of Spirit that will go into detail about those gifts. That's going to be published at the beginning of the summer, actually late June.
Great.
So if you want to know more about that, you can get my book. But there's all the clairs. Clairvoyance is seeing in your mind's eye. That's where I get most of my information. I definitely can see. I can remote view. I could remote view into your house and see your entire home. I can remote view anywhere on the planet, anywhere in the universe, actually. And... yes, and I've seen other planets, and I know you believe that, Sue, because you work with the Arcturians, and I've seen amazing things.
Yeah.
You know, that's so funny. I was thinking, wow, this is why people do that drug. What is it, acid? And
yeah,
because
exactly.
luckily I don't need to do the drug. I can just
no.
go there and see
yeah, who needs
see the
drugs?
amazing things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, there's the clairvoyance, which is my main dominant gift. I can see pretty much anything. Spirits who come forward, I can give you a detailed description of what they look like, how tall they were, about what age they were. And it's live. It's like they can wave to me and I can see them waving to me. They can bring a gift like flowers or jewelry or and show that to me. If they've had, you know, a funny little mark on their face. The other day I was giving a reading and I said I have a aunt coming through who had black hair and she wore her hair in a bun and she's heavy set and very short in stature and she's showing me that she had a mole on the bottom left side of her lip. Is that right? And everything I said was right. Oh my gosh, yes, she had a mole. So that's how clearly I can clearly see the spirits. And the animals come through as well. The other day I was getting a massage. You think that that's, you know, my time, but when you're
yeah,
in a...
Really. You're on call 24/7.
Exactly, I am. And so I was getting a massage, and because I was in such a relaxed state, you know, all the stuff's coming through, and I said to the woman giving me a massage, there's a poodle coming through, a black, long-haired poodle who passed. This was a big poodle, and she couldn't think about who that could be for him, you know, at the moment, and then a couple months later, oh my God, I don't know why I didn't think of this. My best friend lost her poodle a couple of months ago and she's still so upset. Mm-hmm. So this poodle comes through for her. But that's how detailed it is. You know, she even said, well, I had a Rottweiler when I was young. And I said, no, it's not a Rottweiler. This is a, you know, and I gave the description again. So that's how clear it is to me.
Yeah.
Let's see, so that's clairvoyance. Clairsentience is feeling in the body, which is also another dominant gift I have. If your loved one has passed through cancer, I'll suddenly feel very ill, and I'll know that they passed through an illness or cancer. If they pass through heart failure, I'll feel a twinge in my heart, or I'll feel a heaviness in my chest. Let's see here. If they had a limp or if they had something funny about the way they walked or anything out of the ordinary with their body, I'll know. Mm-hmm. And I'll deliver that information. So that's clairsentience. And then you have clear hearing. And that is when I literally can hear statements made. I can hear names. Oftentimes those two gifts work hand in hand, the clairvoyance and the clear hearing. Mm-hmm. Where I'll hear a name and then I'll also see it spelled out before me.
Wow.
Or I'll get a date. The other day I was giving a reading and they said, what's the date? 1989. And she says, oh, that's when my niece passed in a car accident. So I knew that that niece was coming through.
Yeah. So the people on the other side, they give you all the information that is necessary.
Correct.
So that you
uh-huh.
can convince the person on this side that you're for real. Basically.
Right, and I will only give, I will tell the spirits, I will request of them, I need the evidential information first so that they know and believe that it's you, otherwise we're wasting our time. If they don't really think it's you, then they're not going to pay attention to what the heart of the message is.
Well, that's
what I ask for. I consider myself an evidential medium, same as James Long Prague, Lisa Williams, John Edwards. They're all evidential mediums. They're considered mental mediums where we work in our mind mainly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to get the evidential information and then we can get to, oh, they say they love you. Oh, they, you know what I mean? Like the general information.
Uh-huh.
Because if the client isn't convinced, then they're just not going to really believe it.
Right, definitely. I could see that. So that's an evidential medium. And then what's like another kind of medium? Are there other kinds of mediums?
There are many other kinds of mediums. There's the type of medium who will actually allow spirit to come into their bodies and take over. like a stand-in. I don't do that.
That would be kind of dangerous. I don't think I'd want to do that either.
Yeah, I don't do that. Mm-hmm. And then what other? There's another type of medium. I forget the name of it, where they use their energy and the spirit can manifest. This is very, very rare. The spirit can manifest using the medium's energy. Mm. I forget the name of that. But this energy comes out of their nose, their mouth, their ears, and then the spirit uses that energy to manifest. So that's very, very, very rare.
Well, it sounds like yours is the safest in terms of keeping your own earth vessel intact.
Right.
You know, which is important because you need to stay here and stay healthy so you can keep doing your work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and for those that are light workers that are listening, they know, we all know that we have to take care of ourselves so that we can keep doing the work because you know, there can be a lot of pulling. And so we have to make sure that we have time to do all the physical stuff and that we have time to be with our guides and, you know, hang out at the higher planes and do all that stuff that needs us.
Yeah. Well, what I'm finding is as we move into the shift that's occurring, more and more and more people are realizing that their loved ones are with them in spirit, and they are opening up to that, and they're not quite sure how to use it or how to work with it or how to deal with it.
Yes.
And so that's another thing that I teach is to help keep boundaries, because the spirits really don't know boundaries. And if you are open to this and you have an ability, then you can tend to be bombarded with information and impressions, and that's no fun.
Right. I've had a couple experiences where I had to say to people that were still alive, I would have to say, call me on the physical phone and connect. And and then I've had even clients that were on the other side that wanted me to keep being their therapist, and I had to say, no, you look up for help, not down. You know, you get therapy over there. You know, I'm not your therapist anymore. We've moved into a higher dimension. So, and because people are still people, I mean, how do you notice? I mean, I guess you don't know that a lot of them before they're here, before they were on the other side, but from being and communing and having these intimate relationships with people on the other side, what would you say the experience of this? What is this life for you in your everyday life to have this going on?
Well, in the beginning, it was really difficult, but that was because I didn't really know or understand what was happening to me. Throughout my entire life, I never labeled myself medium. And so then when I realized I was a medium, the floodgates opened, and I had no training and didn't know how to manage it, didn't know how to work with it. It was really hard, and it almost felt like more of a curse than a blessing. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way now. It's definitely more of a blessing because I have managed to work with it and learn how to control it through meditations before bedtime, hot baths. I'm in the bath probably once a day, every day. There's just different things, and every medium's different in how they control it and manage it. There's no one right way for each person, and everyone has their own way of being able to. You have to stay grounded, and you have to balance yourself between the third and fourth dimension, because you can't just get swept away into the fourth dimension. We're not ready. You have to stay grounded on the planet and have your connections with Mother Earth as well.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, it would be good for people that are waking up to, like, communicate with you. And you have an email that you could use?
I do. You can contact me at Michelle Fletcher with one L at cox.net. And I have a website, mysticshift.com. And at the website, you can find out more about me. And
you want to say those one more time? Because people like you are probably scurrying to get their pencils out. So can you give those two?
Sure. Sure. Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-E, Fletcher, FLETCHER at cox.net is my email address. And I also have a website, mysticshift.com.
Mysticshift.com. Great. So, Michelle, I'm wondering if you would guide us on a meditation for about, 10
sure.
minutes. That would be great.
I would love to.
I'd love to have someone who's multidimensional for real to share that with us. So,
absolutely. This is a meditation that will help you connect with your loved ones. So you want me to begin right now?
Absolutely. Sounds great. Connecting with you.
Okay. Okay, so let's go ahead and take about 3 to 5 deep breaths in. We'll start with one. Take a deep breath in through your nose and hold it for a minute. Not a minute, but just hold it until it's comfortable and then release. And take another deep, deep, deep breath in through the nose to get your body relaxed. And then release out the mouth. And then a third deep, deep breath in through the nose, in through the nose. And then exhale out through the mouth. Now I want you to bring your awareness up to the top of your head where your crown chakra is. And feel the sensations, and you will feel them around the top of the head at your crown chakra. And see this chakra opening up, ready to receive the brilliant white light, the universal white light of love and God. And as you're feeling the heaviness at the top of your head and feeling those sensations, see a cascade of brilliant white light entering in through the top of the head. You can imagine it in any way you'd like. You can see it as a waterfall pouring into your crown chakra. Or you can see it trickling in, however way is comfortable for you, to see this white light coming in through the crown chakra. And as it's pouring into the body, you can feel yourself being more and more relaxed and very much at peace. And this white light is filling the head and relaxing every nerve, muscle, bone in the body, relaxing the cheeks, relaxing the nose, the eyes, the chin, the neck area. You receive the healing of the white light as it enters in through the shoulders. Many of us carry stress in our shoulders and the upper back. So feel this white light healing these areas of the shoulders, the back. And now the white light is moving toward the arms, moving through the left arm, down to the elbow, healing everything in its path, the fingers, every finger, every muscle, every nerve in the body is more and more relaxed and receiving the healing. Now moving to the right arm, the shoulder, the bones, the muscles, the elbow, and all of the fingers. And just see this white light massaging every muscle in the body. And now moving down toward the chest area, many of us carry stress in our chest area, receiving the healing of the white light. Feeling it glowing, seeing the glow in the chest, and moving down now toward the abdomen. Healing everything in its path, the white light heals the intestines, the pancreas, the lungs, everything in this area. and the white light consumes any darkness whatsoever that's in the body. And now to the buttocks, peeling this area. And now down to the sacral chakra, healing everything in its path. The white light moves down toward the thighs, the knees, the calves, the front of the legs, and moving all the way down to the feet. And now I want you to think of one person who has passed. Think of the one person that you would like to see and have a connection with again. You can see them in your mind's eye. Be aware of any sensations you're feeling in the body. This is a form of communication. See the person waving to you, saying hello to you, and believe that this connection can be made. They may be hugging you energetically with their energy consuming yours, and together you're one, never ever separated. And see this loved one. Do they have anything in their hands? What is their face expression like? Are they happy to see you? Just take a second to feel or see in your mind's eye anything that may be communicated to you. Pay attention to your own thoughts. Loved ones communicate through thought. They may say your name. And oftentimes, we hear our loved ones in our own voice. Do not believe that you're making these things up. You are hearing your loved one. They may take you back to a time in the past to reminisce. Just be open to anything and everything that is being shown to you. And feel the love that they've come with. And know that this loved one is with you always and forever, and that death is an illusion and there is no separation. So take a couple of deep breaths, and when you're ready, open your eyes.
Well, that was wonderful. I went with it and had a great experience.
Did you meet with your dad by chance? Was it your dad?
Yeah, I met with my sister-in-law, and
okay.
My brother is not healthy, and that's why she came.
Aww.
Yeah, so that's why it wasn't all that great. I mean, it was great to see her and feel her, and I felt her in my wrist. She had trouble with her wrists, and... she was a gardener. We both loved to garden, and she had all these big flowers in her arms. And, but she was concerned about my brother. So.
Mm-hmm. I just got the chills in my body, which is confirmation that you're right.
Yeah.
When I get the chills in the body, it means that you're right, or I'm right, or that we're on the right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know about those chills. So. Maybe I'll talk to you later about that. I'd like to get some more information from you. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do have a message for somebody that's listening. Somebody may know someone. A young girl keeps coming to me. She says that she passed in a fire very tragically. A young girl, she's has to be under the age of 12. I keep seeing her, and she was in a fire and passed away. She has long black hair, a very delightful, beautiful young lady, and she wore skirts a lot, and it almost makes me think she went to a private school. The way that I can see her skirt, it looks more like a private school to me, but it doesn't have to be. She may just have worn skirts a lot. So whoever that's for, she's fine. She's happy. She's made it to the other side, and blessings to the family.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, and if there's anything else that's coming through, like messages from people from the other side, because this will be played, and then it'll also be posted on my website and archived, so people will be able to hear this for a very long time.
Right.
So if there's
right, and the spirits know that.
I'm sorry, what?
And the spirits know that. They know that their loved one will be listening, and that's why this came through with this little girl.
Yes, that even though someone might pass at such an innocent age and in such a, you know, terrifying manner that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I read this thing a while back that there isn't pain in death, and that when people are going to die, that their souls pull them out before
absolutely.
They
feel pain. And oh, Sue, I get shown
that?
This. Yes, I get shown this all the time, to where it made me really understand death, that there is no pain whatsoever. And so many loved ones, you know, really do get hung up on the way that their loved one passed, which is understandably, but it's because they lack the knowledge and they don't understand what happens at the time of the passing. It's actually seconds before the passing that the soul leaves the body.
Mm-hmm.
There's been so many times that my spirit guides have taught me this. You know, when you're driving on the freeway and you see this beautiful animal on the side of the road dead, it, you know, that really makes me sad. And my spirit guides tell me, no, you don't understand. And then they show me again and again what happens. And they're not there to experience the pain.
So can you tell us a little bit more about that, about how it is that they exit without having to experience the pain that they're... Because I, for my own self, my mother had a very long dying process. And,
In that case where somebody's chronically ill, they're in and out of their bodies constantly.
Right.
When you are on your deathbed and it's a long illness, they're in and out, in and out, in and out, and they're learning. And one thing we need to understand is that we're here to learn and that we need to unleash our attachment to our loved ones because we're so attached to them. We need to let them go as souls and understand that they're here to learn and that if they choose this long chronic illness to get their learning, we have to respect that. Because that's exactly what they're doing. And anyone who's in a wheelchair or mentally, you know, not all there, you know, Alzheimer's, somebody who's in a coma, they're learning about life and death. And they're in and out of their bodies. They're not stuck.
Well, that's a beautiful thing to know. That's a beautiful thing to know that we are... And also, as we can remember that we are really the souls. We are spirits that are having an experience of humans, not humans having, you know, experience of spirits. And so we're actually, we are visiting inside of our physical body. And then when, you know, we leave that visiting, but we're still the same person, only we've gained from whatever things that we have learned through being the experience of having a physical body.
Right. And the spirits on the other side, the only difference is that they don't have a body. We have a body. They don't have a body. They may have a higher awareness, and they're not stuck in ego identity, but it's the same energy. It's the same consciousness.
And so when you talk to people on the other side, are you aware of the different... you know, like we have stages of growth here, you know, there's stages of, you know, when you first crossover, and then you've reviewed your life, and then maybe
Yeah. Move
on to a higher frequency and all of that.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about how you've experienced that from the people that you've talked to and what you learned about that?
Well, sure. When my mother, growing up, she told us the story of when she was a child, she was thrown into a lake. Or no, she wasn't thrown into a lake. There was a storm that suddenly appeared. She was stuck out in the lake where this huge storm suddenly appeared, and she got swept overboard and was in the water for quite some time where she was drowning, her lungs filled with water, and then suddenly right before her, huge, like, panoramic view of her entire life showed up and appeared right before her. So she saw her birth, she saw her mother, she saw all these different things. So it's my belief that as soon as you pass, you do have, she did survive. She was pulled out of the lake, but, you know, she told us a story through my life growing up. So that you do have an experience, your life review as soon as you pass. And it's instantly, because you're still learning, you're still getting your lessons, and so that's the first thing you do is see your life review, which, you know, it's for some people who did not live a good life and who hurt people and who did terrible things, that life review will not be very pleasant. I wouldn't want to see, there's some things I've done, as we have all done, that we're not proud of, and you will be seeing that and be shown that once again. So does that make sense? And then my brother, who passed away, also showed me your loved ones who are coming through again.
Yes, well, I've talked to you a little bit afterwards.
Yeah, that's your grandfather coming through with the, I can feel it in my throat chakra. That's him coming through with the cancer of the throat. So we'll just ask him to step aside, and we'll connect with him in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so my brother passed away, and he came to me and showed me exactly what the steps were once he passed away, that there was no pain, that he literally stepped out of his body like loose clothing or a costume, and he was immediately met there by his mother, who preceded him in death. And then they had the life review, and then he went to classes and learned about more of life, and so it's a learning here, and it's also a learning there.
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
I've also seen other lives between lives for myself, mm-hmm. where I've gone to magnificent schools and colleges, and nothing like it is here. You know, I'd much prefer learning in that environment than here.
Yes, absolutely.
But, yeah, where there's one life that I went to in between lives where it was just, I can't even describe how gorgeous it was, waterfalls everywhere. And we all did sit in classrooms, same as what we do here, but it was much more connected and much more love in the classroom. And then after class, we would go to our different rooms, and, it was just beautiful. It's one thing, something I'll never forget when I was shown that.
Wow, yes. And, one thing I wanted to say is with the process of ascension that we're all going through now, it is, from what you were saying about the, about the death and the peaceful and the life review, I think that's part of it. And also, I think from, my experiences that I've been having with the ascension process is that I've been having lots of life reviews lately and really seeing myself and really looking at what I've learned and where I have and mm-hmm. detaching more and more from things that used to be important that aren't so important. And I see that from I've gone through the death process with quite a few people in my life, both family members and clients. And it mm-hmm. is a prolonged process, well, if it's a prolonged process as opposed to a sudden. But it is a process of kind of letting go. Are you there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. It is kind of a process of letting go, isn't it? The process of dying? That you let go of a little bit more and you let go of a little bit more.
I'm not sure I understand the question. Do you let go of the loved ones who have left? Is that
no,
what you're
I'm talking
asking?
About from the perspective of people as they are dying, and if they're dying over a longer period of time, that
uh-huh.
they have to that they just begin to release parts of their life more and more.
The person passing is releasing their life?
Right, uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what
when they're ready to go, they will release. And when we do choose our time, we all have a date, and we choose that time of passing before we incarnate, before we come here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and the animals do too.
Yeah.
There's never an accident when it comes to passing. You know, the other day a friend called me in a panic. You know, my puppy got outside of my house and wandered off to the neighbors, and they have two Rottweilers, and they killed my puppy. So I had to explain to her, well, first of all, I had to remove the negativity from the family's home because that devastation and the tragedy of it attracted darkness into the home. So I asked her to do a 10 to 15 meditation to remove that darkness out of the house. And then I explained to her the dog, it was not an accident. The dog just simply used the other two dogs as a vessel or a way to leave this earth because it was ready to leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's
so I don't know why it has to be so tragic. Sorry, Sue.
Yes, I know. That is a good question as to why people would choose to have it be tragic as opposed to having it not be tragic. But I'm sure it has to do with gaining lessons.
Yes, I think
so. And the courage. The courage I could see, especially from a mother who had a very long illness,
mm-hmm.
the courage that she had and
right.
treatment over and over again. So, you know, I think that there has been a fear of death, and in reality, I think there's probably, in fact, they've done studies in, from people on the other side, and it's actually more frightening to get born.
Because
wow. the experience of death is amazingly beautiful. And
right.
you're treated, and you go through, you know, you see the light, you get taken home. But when
mm-hmm.
it's the process of getting born, then that's more frightening because you're coming down here and you know that you're going to have lots of challenges. And, you know,
yes.
life on planet Earth is not easy. So
no,
it's
not.
Actually more frightening to get born than it is to get born to our real self.
Yeah, I have to agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's funny, I was just thinking of that this morning about the process of being born.
Yes.
And what,
yes.
you know, what that's like. And there really it's, death is easy. It's the living that's challenging.
Exactly. And ascension is getting born back to our true self, you know.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
Well, this is all really wonderful and such great information, and I'm sure everyone's going to love your book and want to listen to your show on blogtalk.com.
Yes.
They find your show, they go to blogtalk.com, and then they look up Michelle Fletcher.
Yep, Medium Michelle, and you can find me.
Medium Michelle, and then you've got her one more time for your website and your email.
Sure, my email is Michelle with one L, Fletcher, at cox.net, and then my website is mysticshift.com.
Well, thank you, and everybody, you'll get lots of wonderful information from her, and we are so happy that you were here to join us today. And
thank you.
So thank you so much, Michelle, and you're just doing a lot of wonderful work.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you again to Michelle Fletcher. Join us again next time.